All right, friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. I titled this video, Minnesota Mayhem, Why Are All of These Things Happening Here? So it put me in mind a couple of years ago, we had the George Floyd incident. And oh my gosh, I was going to show you, you know, I am streaming live. So this is going to be, we're going to kind of dig into this together because of what I wanted to share with you. Let me know if you've seen it. And I'm just going to type it in right now. There is a mural of George Floyd on this building in Santa Barbara, beautiful Santa Barbara, California. And I want to see if I can get an image of it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Is that the one? George Floyd. I was stunned, although I don't know why I was, because Santa Barbara really went kind of down the left route. Oh yeah, here we are. Okay, let me share my screen. Actually, before we do that, I want to talk to you about blood pressure. I've got a sponsor that I told you about. Many of you are thanking me. I have a personal interest in helping people stay away from the pharmaceutical, big pharma, mainstream medical merry-go-round because of some things that happened in my family specifically related to blood pressure. I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving you any recommendation, but what I want you to do is to learn more. And I've got this information for you. So if you are concerned about controlling your blood pressure, and of course, they're always fiddling with those numbers as well. What used to be normal is now we're told that it's high. And some people get nervous just going to the doctor to get their blood pressure read. Don't go to the doctor to get your blood pressure reading. But a lot of people do want to control their blood pressure and they don't want to do it with a cabinet full of pills. So if that's you, this is a message for you. And there is a leading blood pressure doctor from Texas who I understand has discovered what he's calling this salt trick. And he did a study with participants who used his method and they saw their numbers drop into the healthy range in just weeks. And the best part is many of them were able to get off their medicine, of course, with their doctor's approval. So imagine going from these dangerously high readings to near perfect blood pressure and saying goodbye to the endless cycle of the medicine and doing it in a natural, healthy way. That's what you can learn about. And you can go to myprimal.life/PeggyBP, BP for blood pressure. I'll have a link for you there. And you might find that this natural alternative is exactly what you're looking for. There was a testimonial that came from Dan C in Los Angeles, who said he couldn't believe it. In 1 week, he says, I went from 200 over 100 down to 110 over 71. So check it out. See this salt trick if you're interested. And also you get a couple of bonuses there as well. So there is an ebook that you can learn about the blood pressure solution. You get a Healthy Connections newsletter as a bonus, free meal plans for your perfect blood pressure and different health natural health connections. So check it out if that's of interest to you. Telling you these stories about Minnesota is making my blood pressure rise, basically. And before we look at some of these weird things that have been happening, actually, let's do that. I promised we were going to take a look at this George Floyd mural in Santa Barbara. Now, this was a couple of years ago. And remember, they were mocking you when they were telling you you had to suffocate yourself to go grocery shopping or go to your doctor. You had to be tested to see if you were sick before you could go to the doctor. I guess they only let healthy people go to the doctor. That's how bizarre this was. So this is in Santa Barbara on kind of a very, not like the main street, but a very frequented street. And I was shocked when we were driving down the street and here is this massive mural of George Floyd. You can see how big it is. Here's a human and here's George. Please, I can't breathe. Nobody cared that we couldn't breathe. Of course, I could breathe. You could too, because I know you didn't suffocate yourself. But that was part of the mocking. So this, we are told, and of course, you probably didn't fall for it. And if you did, go back and watch it again, because now that some time has passed, that's one of my best tips. If you are carried away by the headlines, let some time go by, watch the footage again, and you're going to say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I fell for it. Well, you fell for it because the media preyed upon your emotions. They showed something that was so egregious with images that you couldn't fathom, and your critical thinking and your rational mind just kind of shut off. Now, maybe it's because I've experienced tragedies in my life that I've learned to kind of get through it. So I can look at these things with more clarity. And I just have that gift, I guess, of discernment. And I also observe and I notice things and I collect clues that a lot of people might miss. And I know that's why you're on the channel, because you like to see what I come up with. And there were a lot of great comments from my previous video. So let's take a look at a couple of those. Then we're going to dig in. I have a whole list of some strange things about Minnesota. And I asked you in the last video, do you live in Minnesota? Have you traveled there? And let me share my screen. So first, Mary said, I knew Peggy would not let this get past her. Good video, Peggy. So I just broke down the Alex, pretty Alex event. And it was an event. And Don't Step in the Grease said, I'm embarrassed. I should have known better than to be fooled by this. The good psyop. The Nicole Good psyop didn't fool me, but the Pretty execution had me arguing with a friend, which is what they want. So there's no harm in saying, oh, I fell for it, but let me go back. Look at these images or the footage with the sound off. See what they're trying to show you. Watch it in slow motion. Look at the witnesses or the lack of witnesses. Look at where they're getting the images. Where do they come from? Do they look like it's the same AI face again and again, plastered on different clothing, although with Pretty, he had the same outfit over and over and over again. I found that strange. All right. Brian and Debbie, they said they have lived in Minnesota their entire life. And I asked, why do you think this is happening in Minnesota? And they wrote, this is about the vast resources and minerals that are in Minnesota. They just discovered the largest cobalt reserve up the North Shore near Lake Superior. I didn't know that. And I'm really grateful for your comments and information. Here again, they say this state is one of the few that has one of the highest gun owner populace that is Democrat. They all love guns up here. They cannot turn this bleed blue state around. My understanding is that a lot of the outlying areas, much like in California and even Oregon, even Washington, even North Carolina, they're very conservative. Live and let live. Leave me alone. Self-sufficient, independent, freedom-loving. But it's in the cities, like the city of Minneapolis, which, to my understanding, is so far left that it's probably coming all the way around full circle. That's how left it is. So California is by and large conservative, except for the big cities. Brian and Debbie also made the comment about the Wizard of Oz saying, I will get you, my pretty, and using the name Pretty for Alex, who some would say wasn't that pretty. Oh, I'm just making a joke, friends. A little levity here to inject into our conversation. So a couple of interesting things about Minnesota. Let's start with some of the most frequent, and then we'll work our way backwards. So of course, these ice incidents, I'm calling them orchestrated events. I, like my healthy Americans, were calling them choreographed chaos and other things. We know, we've seen this again and again and again. And I would be hard pressed to find any event that's been splashed across the headlines again and again and again, pushed for certain agendas. I would be very hard pressed to find an authentic one. Right? I mean, so many of these look like they are staged. And when you use my How to Spot a PSYOP checklist, you'll be able to literally go down the checklist and say, this doesn't really add up. So we've got the Nicole Too Good to Be True, her middle name, Renee Nicole Good, who we were told was shot on Portland Avenue. The following day, there was a shooting in Portland of two Venezuelans, tying in with the Trump story in Venezuela. Now we're told that Alex Pretty was shot on Nicolette Avenue. I guess they thought it would be a little too obvious if they called it Nicole Avenue, so they called it Nicolette. And of course, it happened at 9:03, and evil loves to invert, so inverted, that would be 666. These could mean nothing. Not every single color, name, number, date is inherently evil, but they are doing it to cast their spells. I believe it's a type of witchcraft, and of course, signaling that these events are not what they're purported to be. That Nicole Good incident apparently took place not far from what is now called George Floyd Square. And of course, like that mural I showed you a few minutes ago in Santa Barbara, they keep these events fresh in our mind with all of the memorials and all of the murals and all of the movie of the week and all of the t-shirts and all of the Go Fraud Me's, because it continues to traumatize the population. That's why I'm not showing you images. I'm showing you very few just to point out how fake they look, but I'm not going to subject you to these images because that serves their goal of having you be riveted and affected by what's going on. It's so sad that people were traumatized by the Charlie Kirk incident when there was no blood trail, there was no body, there was no bullet, there was no burial, but the thinking mind is hijacked with the emotions. No one on a security team is going to immediately drop down and whisk away an injured person. Somebody is going to be covering to make sure that there is no more shooting. In fact, they're going to call for an ambulance. They're going to assess the damage. They're going to see if the person is still viable. You wait for an ambulance. That was enough of a tip-off. Show me anything else you want about that, and I will tell you that that's the smoking gun. So you can find that smoking gun in these incidents, and I've done so many, many, many times. What I was asking myself was, why is this happening in Minnesota? And I mentioned that I have so many healthy Americans in Minnesota. I get, oh my gosh, look at cards, and I've got bins and bins and bins. I've got many, many, many. All of my cabinets are full of all of these cards and letters from healthy Americans. And I get so many from Minnesota because people are freedom loving there. And I get a lot from, I also mentioned, helped a lot of people from North Carolina, from Virginia, from the state of Washington, from Hawaii, of course, all over, but a number from the Midwest. And that tells me that people care about their freedom. So I'm asking myself, why Minnesota? Why the George Floyd incident? Why all of this ICE going on? And so I started to unravel a little bit. And let's just go back and talk about a recent incident, which is the state of Minnesota changing its flag. Now, it's not the only state to do it. Utah, isn't that interesting? Another state with all of these incidents of these Freemason, Mormon shootings, because they come from Freemasonry. And of course, the Freemasons are part of the one of the largest not so secret societies. And there are so many that we probably don't even know about. They let us know about the Freemasons so we can point our fingers at them and say, ah, Freemasons. But there are probably so many that we don't even know. But here used to be the Minnesota state flag. There was a Native American, we used to call them Indians, riding off on a horse as a white settler plows a field with a rifle resting against a stump nearby. Just a side note, I'll come back to the flag in a moment. I thought it was really interesting when I came to Florida. There are all of these, there's a town called Indian, I think it's called Indian Town. There are all these streets called Indian and Indian Center and, you know, the Seminole Indians. My understanding is that they never surrendered. And finally, the federal government's like, I'll just let them be. You know, they aren't really bothering us. We're not going to bother them. And they just were hiding out in all of the Everglades and everything because they knew the territory. So there is a very proud history of the Seminole Indians here in Florida. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because how bizarre that Governor Newsom in California has issued all of these edicts to get rid of any kind of connection to American Indians. You can't call them American Indians. You have to call them Native Americans. And they, you can't even say the word Indian. They got rid of Squaw Valley, which is like a very well-known ski resort, and they're calling it something else. So I guess you can't have a sandwich made on squaw bread. And we were talking to a friend out here and I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe all these, like Indian River College is a community college here. It's like, you could never call that in California. And she's like, what do you mean? You, I said, you would have to call it Native American College. You can't call it Indian River College. You'd have to call it Native American River College. Just as an aside, people get so bent out of shape with these names. And if you are a person who wants to be called the Native American, I mean, that's fine by me. I'm just saying how strange it is that the government would get involved in all of that. So what the government did in Minnesota is they got rid of this very nice tribute to the Indians. And what they did instead is they turned the flag into what many would say looks like a nod to the Somali flag, because there are so many Somalis in Minnesota. We're going to take a look at a very brief history of why there are so many Somalis. So that was on May 11th in 2024, when the state of Minnesota adopted this flag, and they are flying the flag. These were some of the options. This really looks African to me. All of these look very, very African. It's just the vibe that I'm getting. Maybe that's just me. And they're flying it outside the state capitol. And I think that might be the Somali flag. That's the Somali flag. And there's also a country called Somaliland that I am learning more about. But here, this also happened in Mississippi. The state of Mississippi got rid of this flag, and they created a flag with the magnolia, the state flower. And of course, I showed everybody, do I have it here? I believe I was among the first to break the news about the Utah state flag. Here we go. This used to be the Utah state flag. It looks very patriotic. You've got the eagle, which I know many of you are aware that that also can have some Roman imagery and so forth. But what they did is they put the beehive, which is a Masonic symbol, a symbol of industry, which the Mormons adopted because the Church of Latter-day Saints, I believe they prefer to be called, has its roots in Freemasonry, and many of the rituals and the temples and all of that are designed after the Freemasons. So I found that very, very interesting that they've got the beehive and they got rid of that flag as well. So that's something that caught my attention. And I don't have all the answers, friends. We're here to talk about this together. As I said, this was going to be a, let me get my notes here. This is going to be something that we're looking in together. So let me tell you a little bit about what I learned about the history of the Somalis coming to Minnesota. If you're coming from a climate in Africa and then you go to Minnesota, which, like, how cold is it there today, friends? I'm filming on January 26th. It's a lot colder than it is in Florida. We complain if it's under 60 degrees. Minnesota hosts the largest Somali population in the United States. So, because of a civil war and famine, we're told that a lot of Somali refugees started going to Minnesota in the 1990s, going to the Twin Cities. And mainly they were working, as I understand it, in the poultry processing plants. Apparently, that's a job they could do. And there, as often happens in these cities, you get a few families coming, and then before you know it, others are coming. They get support from the previous immigrants who will kind of show them the ropes. That happened at where I grew up in Orange County. We had Vietnamese, we had Cambodian, very hardworking, industrious, population and heritage. I had many wonderful Vietnamese students. And I don't care for the Vietnamese mafia, like Andrew Doe, who hopefully now is actually in prison. We're told he is, because he stole millions of dollars, just like Tim Walz. Is he Vietnamese or is he Somali? I mean, all of this weird corruption. You'd think people would come to this country for freedom, but apparently Andrew Doe didn't. He came for the dough. And so 1990s, you started seeing a lot of Somalians coming in the Civil War, but I still don't understand why they went to Minnesota. Surely there are jobs in other areas. I was trying to dig in to find out who was actually funding that. In California, it was the Catholic Church. They were helping the Vietnamese because many of them were Christian, and they settled them outside of Camp Pendleton and so forth. And right now, Orange County is the largest Vietnamese population outside of Vietnam, just like Los Angeles has the largest Persian population outside of Iran. So apparently there's around 100,000 Somalis, or those of Somali descent. Let me be clear, because I made some statements in my previous video that probably are not very popular about immigrants. I come from a family of immigrants. You may as well. You may have come here escaping, you know, your political oppression and so forth. I kind of feel like I escaped the political oppression in California. But what I want to say is this. I think we should stop immigration right now. I think that the borders should be closed. It doesn't make sense that you are trying to scoop all of the water out of the sinking ship before you patch the ship. Patch the ship and then go do all of your other operations. Close the borders. In my opinion, there ain't no more room at the inn, okay? I further do not believe in these multi-generational immigration setups where somebody's uncle and cousin and nephew can say, well, my aunt and my great grandfather on my mother's aunt's side. No, you don't get to claim that you get to come here because of that. I just don't, I think we have enough already. And I come from a family of immigrants and I've helped legal immigrants get their paperwork done without getting the jab. But I would say at this point, if you really want to crack down on immigration, close the flow of immigration now, period, end of story. You want to help those people, give them the aid in their own country, set up some kind of refugee camps where they can get the medical help and the political help and whatever kind of help that they need in their country. I think that was the idea maybe of the Peace Corps or something, like Americans would go to these countries and nah, that's probably not the same at all. But what I'm saying is if you want to help people that are being oppressed in those countries, there are ways to do it in those countries. So I just want to be clear for people who might think that I'm a bleeding heart liberal, just setting the record straight. No, I don't think there's room for any more, especially we're being told falsely that we are running out of resources. We don't have enough electricity. We don't have enough water. We don't have enough gasoline. There's not enough housing, yet they're letting all these people in. Well, if we're going to go by your kind of bizarre narrative of, you know, too many people, then well, don't let them in. That's my saying. So I don't go for all of these descendants and multi-level marketing of immigrants. I don't care for it. That's just me. So most Somalis live in the Minneapolis, St. Paul metro area, forming vibrant neighborhoods. I got this off the internet. All right. So back in like 2022, when all of the COVID blood money, the hush money was being doled out to the governments, a lot of this went to the Feeding Our Future, which was run not by a Somali. Well, there was a Somali partner, but there was just a woman that probably looked like me. And she went from just getting like a couple hundred thousand dollars in grants to like millions and millions and millions of dollars. I think it probably added up to a billion or more after all was said and done. And she started recruiting these Somali child care agencies and food banks and all of that, only just like in California, no food was being delivered. It was a huge fraudulent scheme. I'm not diving into that in this video. I feel like a lot of coverage has been done on that already. Many people think it just happened. It's been going on for years. This woman actually has been in prison, my understanding, for a couple of years. So, and even those stories, I don't even know if I believe. Because it was like ABC News said, we have never allowed behind the scenes interview with this woman in prison. Well, if it's not allowed, how did you get it? You see, I just don't trust any of that. So now we've got all these Somalis living in Minnesota, and apparently that's who ICE is going after. Why or how or what they've done if they've come here illegally, I don't know why that's happening. So let's talk about, I have a couple more notes. Let's talk about a couple of other interesting things about Minneapolis, about Minnesota. My understanding is in the city of Minneapolis, it was the first city in the United States that had a car-free zone, like a pedestrian-only area. Now, I've been to these pedestrian zones like Santa Monica, 3rd Street in Santa Monica. It's very well known. It's called the 3rd Street Promenade. And it's basically a bunch of shops and you can't drive your car there and people walk around and there's street performers and all of that, kind of like a European flair, I guess. Santa Barbara, after the Cooties hogwash, they made these pedestrian streets for your safety. And of course, they never opened them back up again. So it definitely is kind of a left-leaning approach. You may love them. You don't have to worry about getting hit by a car. You like to stroll around. I'm just saying that it was interesting that Minneapolis, my research says, was the first city in the entire United States to start this type of scheme. The other thing really troubling to me is that Minneapolis, as I understand it, was the first city in the United States to pass a law that did away with zoning for single family dwellings. How do you like them apples? San Diego, I haven't been following it too closely, but when I was living there, I was not in the city of San Diego, but the county. And that was coming up in the City of San Diego City Council and also in the County of San Diego saying, we can't have people living on their own. I mean, that's too selfish. You have to put a house in your backyard and have somebody else living there because you don't have a right to have a backyard. That's what they're trying to do. All the pack 'em and stack 'ems, get rid of the single family dwellings. They don't. And after a while, you won't even be able to own your own condo. You'll just be renting it. Remember, they don't want you to have your own personal property. So I thought that was of note. All right. We talked about, maybe it was my other video, that Minnesota is extremely liberal. It's right up there, like with Chicago and New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco, my understanding. I have not been there as an adult. Some of you told me that you are from that state and you agreed with me. We talked about billions of, back like in the 1930s, that really got Minnesota going into its left-leaning ways because they got millions and millions and millions of dollars in the New Deal, which was government money for public works and so forth. And you can bet your corrupt, fraudulent dollars that that happened, that there was a lot of scandal and scamming and corruption with all of that money as well. All right, we talked about the Somali flag. Here's what I think is interesting as well. So I did a little more research here and let me pull up these images. So speaking of the Wizard of Oz and Alex Pretty, I will get you pretty or you can't get away from whatever that saying was. The Judy Garland Museum just happens to be in Minneapolis. How do you like them apples? And let me just point out for those of you that might like the Wizard of Oz, I believe that Ruby is another code word for these operations because we had Jack Ruby of that incident, which I also would say is, we don't know the whole story of that. So Jack Ruby, there was the shooting at Ruby Ridge, right? Ruby. We have the ruby shoes. And then apparently a few years ago, the ruby red shoes were stolen from the museum. And then apparently they were found again. Not to neglect the fact that shoes are a calling card for the New World Disorder and Freemasonry. And they call it decalcification, taking off your shoes. It's like a rite of passage. Remember, Trump lost his shoes in the infamous Eargate. And there are often images of shoes at these events. Let me know if you've seen any shoes at these ICE events. And we're told that in many of these shootings, how do you like that little play on words? The shootings were often told that the person lost their shoes or they were barefoot. And I pointed that out in the Eric Kirk video as well for that music video that she did. She was barefoot. And it just is, you're going to say, Peggy, there you go again. Well, there you go again, not collecting clues. You need to collect these because they actually could add up. Here's something else. Again, we're kind of doing this research together here, friends. Minneapolis, St. Paul, smart city. The Department of Transportation, and this was a decade ago, 2016. Remember the bikes they tried to get people to ride? I don't know if they're doing that. The electric cars that actually take more energy to build than a regular car, these electric buses that weren't running. And of course, how are you going to evacuate from a hurricane if you're in an electric vehicle and you can't charge your vehicle? So the smart city aspect of it. It just goes on and on and on. Let me know what I am missing. This is just kind of a first cursory glance because I am relying on you to tell me what you know about Minnesota and actually Minneapolis. So let's see. Of course, you've got the storms that are coming in. I want to take a look at a couple of your comments here. So, thanks everybody for being on board. I did a double header tonight, as long as my voice is holding out. Hey, I promised you over the weekend that I was going to dig into Trump's Board of Peace logo. Give me another day or two to pull all that together. I did do a deep dive on, so I have some detailed coverage that I did because it was breaking news. Everybody was asking me about that. So let's see what you guys are saying. Daisy says hello from the crazy state of Minnesota. I really have to ask you guys, how do you stand the cold? I mean, I got to hand it to you. So yeah, Brian and Debbie say it's always been a socialist state. There you have it. But you guys live there and you're freedom-minded. That's what I think, that there are a lot of freedom-minded people that just don't, you know, people don't know about that. They just don't make it out there, I guess. The first Communist Party president was from Minnesota, Gus Hall. No relation to Peggy Hall. That is my married name. Val says the walleye fishing is good there. And Brian and Debbie say they had meetings up here in the Iron Range. Most of the iron ore for the World Wars came from northern Minnesota. Daisy Girl says Minneapolis is like another country. The suburbs are good. Don't you find that the case? I know people that moved to Oregon because they wanted, you know, again, that independent lifestyle, live and let live. And as long as they were outside of the big cities, they were okay. But I mean, Portland, oh, I was in Portland a long time ago. I had a cousin that lived there. And I found it, to my eye, very dreary and depressing and cold. And I just didn't feel any life and vitality. Maybe that's just me. Okay, let's see what else. They say the funny thing is Minnesota is called God's country. Grand Rapids, Minnesota is labeled as a safe zone. That's very interesting. Very close to Canada. Daisy Girl says every block in Minneapolis is covered with rainbows and banners protecting child attraction. Oh, that's so sad. And BLM. We're a few miles where Judy Garland was born. That's why there's that museum, Wizard of Oz programming. I have not covered that on this channel. There are other YouTubers that have gone into the Wizard of Oz and all that kind of stuff. I just need to protect my vessel. You know, my soul can only handle so much, and I am aware of all of that because for years, long before I had a YouTube channel, I would go down all those rabbit holes. You know, I know all about the world wars. I know all about all the fakery, the trickery, the Hollywood stuff. Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. It harms my soul. So there are people who cover that. I like to do a little bit more like critical thinking and have a little snark that I can add here or there and help people understand that they're not alone. That's why you come on this channel. You have told me it's because you want to get my take and then say, aha, I'm not the only one that sees things this way. So, okay. It's all shows says, I'm not sure if you said this. I just got here, but weren't they both 37? Renee and Alex, good point. Very interesting. Phil Haney of Department of Homeland Security, see something, say something. Remember that one they had going on, snitch on your neighbor? Three times at conferences here when the Islam scare was making the rounds. It is, oh, that'll have to be a video for another day, friends, to talk about the Islamophobia. I'm going to get comments again. I know we'll have to do that on another topic. Let's see. I love your comments here. I can't get over everyone falling for the Virginia Guffrey picture with the AI bruises. That's another one, Angel, that happened in Portland. Why would she be there? The weird AI with her eyebrows dancing around saying that she had that black eye, like that didn't add up as well. I can only cover so many of these orchestrated events. Oh, this is good. Carrie says in Canada, the Indians are called the First Nations. I really like that. Now they're called the Thunder Hawks. Ned says these psyops are building the hive mind. Oh, I wanted to make a comment because I had, I think, a new healthy American who might not qualify as a healthy American leave a couple of comments on the live stream where I was saying that the narratives and the agendas that are being pushed in Minnesota, in Minneapolis in particular, and in the most recent things we've seen with Charlie Kirk and the Mormon meeting house shootings and all of that, they're pushing, and with COVID, they're pushing this concept of the federal government's going to come door to door. And people are like, yeah, that's good. I think it should be good because I want to be safe. And then the person said, where's your proof that they're going door to door? Exactly, my friend. That's why it's called an agenda, a narrative. I never said that it actually is happening. They want you to think it's happening so that you'll be conditioned to it, so that you'll accept it, so that you'll have conversations about it and think it's a great thing because the government is going to keep you safe. That was my point. I know not everybody is aware of my manner of teaching and presenting. So I just wanted to set the record straight on that as well. I don't have proof of any of this, which is why I don't believe it, which is why we need to question it and dig beneath the headlines, as I say. Don't trust your health to the headlines and don't trust your well-being to the headlines either. So it's all a show, said, I miss the old Minnesota flag. It actually meant something. Now it looks like the Somali flag. You can't deny that it does. It really, really does. Most people pay no attention to the state flag. They're in a trance. My question is, why are all these state flags being changed? And why are they looking like some weird AI? Just, there's no soul, right? It's just like I could have gotten it for free off of logosrus.com, flagsrus.com. That's where it looks like it came from. Very strange and very simplistic and childish, in my humble opinion. Okay, Liz said, I have to look at my Nebraska flag. Friends, that's a great homework, is to look at your flag. Look, are they doing anything? Who's behind this flag changing? Probably these smart city initiatives and all of that other stuff. Okay. All right. DP says, I lived in Indian Valley, Marin County, next to Indian Valley College. To my knowledge, nobody bothered to change the names. Marin is very laid back and such a beautiful place in California. It was 24 below in Minnesota today. That's why I'm in a warm state. And I have not met anybody from Minnesota here in Florida, but there are a lot that come from Connecticut, Pennsylvania, New York. Okay. Larry Fink and BlackRock don't agree. I guess they don't agree with me, maybe. Okay, let's see. All right. Okay, I'm going to wrap up, friends. Mary says San Antonio is full of five-story complexes. When we were driving from California to Florida, we went through San Antonio. I was in San Antonio about 20 years ago. Oh, wonderful little town. I didn't even know where I was. It was unbelievable. All of the pack 'em and stack 'em and pack 'em, as I call them, the rabbit hutches. Okay. Okay. F. Dup said, I have lived in Minnesota for 52 years. I only know three or four liberals. I know hundreds, if not thousands, of conservatives. That's what it's like in California. There are so many people, live and let live. The sad thing in California, people don't want to talk about it anymore. They don't want to be branded. It's a very, let me know if this is where you are too. It's a very unspoken, powerful push to not voice your opinion because you might offend someone. Isn't that sad? That's like another narrative, that's another agenda that's being pushed. That's Miss Freak says, this was a pretty good show. Oh, that's what I called my previous broadcast. If you missed it, it's pretty, pretty good. Okay. I love this. Liz says, I'm not right or left. It's good versus evil. God tells us to stand up to it. And he says, when you've done everything you can do, stand. And that's what we're doing. Mary says, what do the red shoes represent? Ooh, bad things that happen to children. I'll just put it that way. Okay. Even no. All right, I'm going to wrap up, friends. Master says you crack me up. The shoesing. Yes, all of their shoes in the psyops. Okay. Oh, so many great comments, friends. I'm going to read these offline. Remember, I select a handful of comments and I publish them in my Substack, peggyhall.substack.com. The reason I'm always telling you about that is because if this channel ever goes down, that's where you can find me. It's absolutely free to subscribe. I would recommend that you don't pay for a subscription. I'm going to say that from here on out. It's better if you want to support what I do, just drop me your support in the mail. That's the best way. Then the banks are not involved. Stripe is not involved. Substack's not going to automatically charge you. If you are a subscriber, double check. I don't want you to be surprised that they do an auto renew on you. I have no control over it. I can't even undo it. And that's the downside of Substack. However, it does give me the opportunity to publish these articles. I have hundreds of them, and it's some of my best work because I actually spend the time to research and write this and have it for you in a format that you can read, you can share, you can ask others if they're interested as well. So I've got so much to cover, friends. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow. So as we close out the month, I'm going to do a broadcast every day. And I'm not sure if I'll go back to the Mondays or Wednesdays. Y'all were telling me you missed me. So we'll see. I'll do the best I can. Fridays, we take a break from all the headlines. We leave the headlines behind and we take a break and we talk about uplifting content on my second channel, Living Swell. All right. Great to have you, everybody. Love our live cast here, and you make it better. It's so great that we can support each other. I read your comments. You fill in a lot of the blanks for me, and I love to learn from you as well. So thank you to my moderators and to the smartest and most supportive audience on YouTube. That's where you find them, right here at The Healthy American. Okay, everybody, I'll see you back here Tuesday. And we're going to continue the coverage, probably some stuff on Trump, probably some stuff on Newsom, and other things that are on your mind. I'm doing the Tennessee goodbye, aren't I? Okay, bye, everybody.